You're listening to 2024 in Review, a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories of the year from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
There's been a trove of videos and documents and images shedding light now on exactly what went down with Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand. And we have all of them. And I've been slowly disseminating them and going through them. Recently, we've been listening to the phone calls, the jailhouse phone calls of Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand. And there's more to come. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss that. On the Hidden Killers podcast channel or the True Crime Today podcast channel. And on social media, I've been putting them out there too, but there is so much. There's a lot that has been coming out that paints such a grim picture of the abuse that was inflicted upon Frankie's children and the religious fervor that allegedly fueled it. Frankie, alongside her business partner, Jody Hildebrand, faced charges related to the aggravated abuse, of course, of Frankie's children. In the newly released documents, prosecutors underscore the role of a religious extremism as a driving force behind the abuse perpetrated by Frankie and Hildebrand. Frankie's handwritten diary entries, which we're going to read, not on this episode, but I'm going to be doing episodes specifically on it. We're going to work our way through the diary entries, which are disturbing as shit.
Yeah.
But really help you understand a little bit better just how twisted these people are. And they, everyone looks at this and everyone goes, how could you do this? How could you do these sort of things to your own children? And I think the answer, it's kind of simple, but it's kind of complex at the same time. It's because she believed she was doing the right thing. It's the same
in the name of religion and being saved.
In the name of, this is what God wants. This is God's will. And the children have demons in them, and the devil is after Ruby Frankie. And these are all things that she's doing to rid the children of the demons and to, I mean, it's very reminiscent of Lori Vallow Daybell.
Oh my God, Tony, those verbatim, those were the words ready to come out of my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, these kids, had this continued on, I think would have ended up dead and melted in a fucking Lowe's bucket, just like the children of Lori Vallow.
When was the last time you've had rug burn? And I'm asking for a specific reason.
Rug burn?
Mm-hmm.
I was probably a child.
Okay.
Like sliding on the rug or something.
Yeah, but I everybody listening, we've all experienced where we've slid across the floor and we get up and we go, oh my God, that hurts. And your skin is like hanging off.
Yeah.
That's what these kids had. I looked at the pictures and went, holy shit.
Oh my God. It's so disturbing. There's police raid videos in this archive where they go into the house and they find the kids like locked in closets. And it is disturbing and just emaciated, not being fed. I mean, I don't know how any form of religious fervor gets you to have children that literally look like they are coming out of Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is great. This is, but I guess it's the same way that people were able to do that back then too, because they're believing what they're doing is for some sort of greater good that's bigger than them. It's scary what the human mind is able to accept and just suddenly go, oh, I think I'm going to go down this road. This seems reasonable to me.
I just wonder, is there something about people that if you promise them something that they desperately want, whether it's salvation or money or riches, whatever it might be, that they can set aside their moral high ground and just go for it? Or did they never have the morals to begin with? You know?
I don't know that it's like, it's resetting a moral high ground. I believe that it is resetting a moral high ground. It's not like it's not there or isn't there. I think it's more like redefining the moral high ground, and they're defining it as, this is moral. This is what I need to be doing. Nobody else understands me. Because that's what you hear constantly in these phone calls is nobody understands me. Nobody understands Jody. We're just so misunderstood. We're doing the right thing. You can't discipline your children anymore. Oh, the world's against us. It's this, like, you're insane. Everyone's against you because you're doing horrible, horrible things to children. But they, in their mind, they have a whole different set of rules they're playing by that do not coincide with reality. I think that's how that works. But you also have to have a very, very twisted and damaged, I think, sense of morality to be able to move and shift in that sort of a direction that quickly, which if you go deeper into the pathology of this whole thing, it's like, I'm sure Ruby Frankie probably doesn't have the best of childhood or upbringing or something. I don't know. Something happened to this woman somewhere in her life that was clearly traumatizing that made her the way she is. But even her own family is, her sisters and such have talked about disowning her and they want nothing to do with her. And she's like, oh, they're all, they're conspiring against me. Like, no, they just don't want anything to do with you because you're a fucking monster.
But and there are some people who use religion for a path of love. Mm-hmm. And then there are those who use it for evil. And it just surprises me because I majored in religion. I'm not necessarily proud of that because I've got immense amounts of death and debt.
Debt. Same sort of thing.
But yeah, it's religion. Yeah, it does scare you at some points, especially if you're reading passages from the Bible. It's terrifying at times, but it was never meant to be just this horrible, abusive thing. There's so much love and acceptance. And it's so twisted these days that open the damn book again, you know? Read some of these passages again. It's like you're focusing on one paragraph of negativity and horribleness, and you're not doing the good of the community anymore. That's how you end up with these people.
Yeah. Well, they're already horrible people, and then they need justification for their actions because everyone's telling them that, you know, this is not right, what you're doing. Like back in the days of our Eight Passengers blog, and when everyone's telling you there's something wrong, well, how do you trump that? There's two roads you can go down. You can either go and say, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I'm off. Maybe, maybe there is I'm missing something here. But when you're like a malignant narcissist and you can't take that in, you can't take criticism, you need justification for your actions. And what better way to get justification than, well, the Bible. Let's find some pieces here and the Bible will justify almost anything if you really go through it. And depending on where you're reading in the Bible and what portion of it, Old Testament, New Testament, this or that, it's a book with basically every single horrible thing in it. And it's sometimes trying to convince you that some of it's justified, the horrible behavior. But if you take it all out of context and don't understand the order to which some of these things took place or why they took place or all that. And some of it just makes little to no sense at all, period. You will find ways of justifying your behavior. And, yeah. And what better thing to say than God? God is the one behind this. And I'm doing the work of God. But it's just as funny because as she got in trouble for all these things in the jailhouse phone calls, when she starts to kind of, there's like two sides of Ruby Frankie in those calls. One where she is very much still on the side of Jody, and then one where she's like kind of wising up and realizing that might not be the best move. And then she's suddenly going, oh, it's not God. It's the devil that's behind all this. It's not God. It's the devil. And she's talking about the same shit. It's like, so one moment it's God and you're doing God's work and you're misunderstood. The next time, oh, it's the devil. No, it's you, Ruby. It is you that's doing this. But when you can't take accountability, it's either this or that and never you.
And I just worry that we're dealing with mental illness here. Some of these people,
completely.
Well, obviously we are. But some of these people who are hiding behind the guise of religion saying, I'm doing this in the name of God. Are you, though? Or are you doing it because you've got the veil of mental illness and you're using the Bible, you're yes. using God, you're using religion as your front?
I would say most religions that are have some sort of fundamentalist extremist to aspect of them are simply high, they are not accepting mental illness, and they are throwing it yeah. into the world of religion as justification yeah. for their mental illness because nothing else makes sense, and that's what they can get behind. And that's yeah. that's where you see it. And that's also typically when you have like little sects of weirdness here and there. And I'm not saying like big things can't have it either. Look at the fucking Catholic Church. Yeah. But those smaller ones are scarier to me because they operate without a whole lot of accountability, without a whole yeah. lot of people. And if you really look at the people involved in some of those things, it's fucking mental illness city.
Yeah.
If you looked at them.
Yep.
And
yep, I've seen some of that. I've watched even a family member get steeped in religion suddenly
yep.
and shaking my head going, what's going on over here? I understand that you want to belong and you want community, yep. but you're also swallowing a whole bunch of beliefs that 10, 20 years ago, you never would have bought into. Well,
and that's,
and now it's just like candy, like give it to me.
Well, mentally ill people, I mean, and we all, I think, have a level of it to a certain extent, but some there's certain extremes here. There's personality disorders and there's all these sort of things where eventually they get shunned from society because of their bad behavior. And they're so desperate for acceptance and understanding, quote unquote, that when they find it, which is quite often in some sort of a religious setting, they'll take it and they'll eat it up. You know, reality be damned, or how extreme some of these people may be damned. But I finally have acceptance, so I am going to cling on to that. And I will be cool with pretty much anything they say or do because I finally have someone who accepts me and understands me.
Do we just need more nightclubs where more people are accepted? Like, think of Cheers, where people can just go in and everybody knows them and they belong. Is that what we need more of then?
Well, then we start mixing alcoholism into the...
That's a good point.
And glorifying it as like, hey, it's Cheers. You know, it's... we need better ways of coping and yeah. teaching people how to cope from a younger age. So they don't feel that they need to go to such extremes to find acceptance. That's what we need. And we're missing that. We focus far too much on things that are not going to help us in reality or our lives in our education system. And parents and families, they're missing so much of this. They're not equipped to do it because they didn't have it. So how are they going to teach it if they don't seek it out and learn it themselves? And most people don't do that. They just repeat, you know, rinse, repeat. And yeah. then it goes on to the next generation, and it just keeps going. And that's how this works. And then you just get more and more damaged people with more and more damaged thinking, doing more and more damaged things. And then some go way off the fucking rails like this. And then you discover what you have. Jailhouse calls between Frankie and her estranged husband, Kevin. Frankie reveal the emotional turmoil and denial that characterized the aftermath of the arrest. In a poignant exchange, Ruby attributes her predicament to the influence of evil forces, lamenting the loss of everything she holds dear, saying, quote, Satan has taken everything away from me that I love.
Oh, boy.
No, you did, Ruby. Reflecting on her plight from behind bars, her husband, Kevin, responds with reassurance, vowing to uphold truth within the family amidst the turmoil. The case culminated in the sentencing of Frankie and Hildebrand, each facing prison terms for their roles of the abuse. Despite Frankie's pleas and denials, evidence presented by prosecutors presented a very grim portrait of the suffering endured by the children, underscoring the gravity of the charges. They've both been sentenced to 4 consecutive 15-year sentences, which, if you do the math, would equal 60 years. But the statute in Utah, because it's fucking Utah, only limits them to 30. So that overrides the actual sentencing. So 30 years.
The good news is they're not parenting children anymore.
Yeah.
These kids are hopefully somewhere safe and starting that healing process that I don't know if they're ever going to heal from this.
Sure.
They may not have children in the future because of what happened to them. I chose not to have children because I had a really sadistic father, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to carry it on. I trust that I would never do what he did, but I didn't want to take that chance. Now, my two brothers have had kids, and one of the brothers went off the rails and just horribly abused his kids. So to me, I'm kind of like, you know, if you come from a really abusive situation, maybe the best thing is to not have kids yourself.
Well, unless you are healed and you are not looking at that in any way, shape, or form as being the right way of being raised.
Right.
And
right.
That's a big problem. And sometimes you'd look at it as not being the right way and you repeat the pattern. But this is clearly something where there is such depths of mental illness here with Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt that it went to this crazy, crazy extreme. Those phone calls are very interesting. Be sure to check them out here on the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. If you're listening on the Murder in the Morning channel, please subscribe over there because that's where those are. And you'll be shocked. I can hear these calls right now in my head where she's saying these things. And it is interesting study in mental illness.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.